Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, it's now or never. I hope you get the meaning behind that and in that, that we do not have a lot of time, either we, because we're running out of time to be able to engage and correct the course. Now, we might actually, we have plenty of time to create a huge schism within the Republic. But in so doing, there may be states that may survive, but the Constitution may not. And what I mean by that is that if the red states, the flyover states, actually decide that they're not going to go along with the progressive states and this progressive agenda any longer, and they decide to secede, and the rest of the union concedes to dive into the globalist plan, then what we're looking at is a huge divide. And it will end up becoming a war. And what I mean by that is there will be contention and there will probably be force applied to go after the flyover states, those states who chose not to participate in the in this new experiment of communism, global communism. I see that as a possibility. Folks, we have to actually start getting engaged. We got to do everything we possibly can. And so, as you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We've got these five sponsors or five endorsements that I have, and these are non-paying endorsements. I don't have any endorsements or advertisements for this show. Free Constitution classes by Keith Borders. Just go to theconstitutioneducation.us and start educating people. Now, we have some constitutional training videos or educational videos at Reclaiming the Republic on YouTube. We hope to add to that. I've had it in the works to actually sit down and work with, you know, a couple of other people to actually provide really very specific Constitution classes that one, recognize Republic Review, as well as incorporate Republic Review within the classes of the Constitution so that people can actually start looking. And I just believe that this is Madison's messaging. After the Constitution was ratified and moving forward, he had to clarify quite a bit the importance of the states being the parties to the compact. That being said, we also have Timber Nation out there, timbernation.com. If you are looking for hardwood furnishings, give them a call. I know they're probably still backed up there. They're having a great time with all of the people coming and ordering from either these endorsements and or the, I think it was the Absolute Sound or maybe it was Stereophile that actually recommended them as well. And so because they're one of the last few companies out there that are, you know, in America hand making things and making them custom made and so forth. So check out timbernation.com. They actually provide you and they can do almost anything that you would like to have them done. You know, whether that be a desk, bookshelves, or what have you. We also want to heavily promote this concept of independence via financings. Reach out to Fortitude Financial Coaching with Gary Smith. I know that there's probably a lot of people that do this, but I know Gary is really looking more in giving back and helping people than he is in trying to actually start off a whole new business to create, you know, this massive flow of revenue. I believe he's retired twice, so, and I believe he's been blessed and set in the right spot. So if you need coaching, give him a call. Check him out. RadioDustCovers.com is how you can get the coverings for your electronics that you would like to keep that you may have paid a lot of money for, whether that be ham radios or what have you. We also have Ad Local for your IT, ISP type of support. I don't know if they do the ASP side on ITIL framework, but I do know that they are, you know, a full ISP type of service. The only thing they don't provide is the physical line to your home. I try to tell this to people. There is a great competition out there for web hosting and all of that type of stuff to actually compete with what your carrier is providing you for your domain services and so forth. Get out into the independent world of ISP support instead of using, because you're going to pay top dollar. If you're using Xfinity or Comcast or you're using Time Warner, AT&T, Verizon, it does not matter, or even Fios, it doesn't matter. If you're using the company that's providing you the cable, you're going to be paying premium prices, and that's just how it is, because they know they already have you. And why do they need to actually, you know, if, have you ever noticed that when it comes to television subscriptions, internet subscriptions, and so forth, they know you can't be making very many changes. They know that you're really in this controlled environment. That's why we don't have a free market in this world of what we call ISP, because the physical cables, the physical, you know, services that come to your home are limited. It's not like you're going to go out and pay for 17 different physical lines coming to your home, because they're not going to put it in for free. And it has to ride over either that fiber optics, that coaxial, or over through satellite. Those are your three means. And there's two satellite companies out there, and both of them, all of them, they'll give you an introductory offer, and then they will take you back up to, you know, these outrageous prices, or what you'd go, are you kidding me? I'm paying that much for television and for my internet and so forth, because they can do that. And so this is why I'm an advocate to just rotate. If you want TV services, do not give your cable company the dominance of that. Go get DirecTV for 1 year. Almost every single one of these companies offers you a discounted rate. None of these companies will offer you a customer loyalty. Believe me, I had DirecTV for over 20 years, and DirecTV kept on raising the price, kept on raising the price. And I said, you know what? Why is it that for a loyal customer, you keep on jacking up my price, but everybody else, you're giving the services away to come in for their first year? Why aren't you rewarding us with lower pricing and or fixed pricing? You know, like I did with Sirius. I paid, I think, $250 for a lifetime subscription for Sirius back when they were just starting up. They don't even offer that anymore, because it's all about getting subscriptions and making obscene amounts of money. If you look at the world's latest billionaire club, if you look at how many people have become billionaires since the 1990s, the majority of them around the world have become billionaires because they were the ones that invested in cell phone, you know, wireless cell phone, or, you know, the cell phone services and so forth, and cell phone, or I should say wireless internet over the cell phone network and all of that. If you kind of understand how they're doing that, it's not like a whole bunch of people threw money at them. It's they have been getting obscene amounts of money on a monthly basis that has accumulated them into a billionaire class society. This is why we're being raked over the coals on all these types of things. And if you really look at what we can do and how we could go down this path, if you can't have a truly competitive environment, then I think we really need to put it on the table to say, why is this not public? It can be state ran and not federally ran. And when we make it state ran, and then states can actually start creating a national network without having to go through the federal government, because they don't have enumerated powers to mess with this anyway. But then we can start looking at creating what I would say a model for a strategy and a way to actually provide services without creating these huge corporate, you know, annual bonuses and just obscene amounts of money for people when they retire. walk away with $100 million. Where's that coming from? It's not coming from just, you know, growing on the tree itself. It's because we're paying a monthly subscription so that they can make their bonuses and everything else. So this is why you should really start considering this. I know when I talk to conservatives, some of those people think, oh, we got to have a free market. Well, show me how this is a free market. You may have a few cell phone services out there, but it's not a free market, and they're all basically trying to maintain. It's almost like they collude in how much money they're providing you. Where is the people's cell phone service where, you know, they don't believe in any profits going to a corporate? It's all, let's just say, a co-op. Or, you know, all the investors are equal and nobody is driving all of the profits into the pockets of a few. Fact of the matter is that it's not, there's nothing wrong with having a true profit-based company. But when it comes to something that is so limited because you can only have so many cell towers, and guess what? They're paying, whoever built those cell towers, they're paying a little bit of usage for your cell service. That's why some cell companies have great coverage all over the place, because they're able to pay the prices for that great expanded network. When you start looking outside of that and you look for these smaller operating companies like T-Mobile or what have you, then it you're sucking and you're paying about the same price. Folks, we need to wake up. We need to start looking outside the box and solving most of the things that are just taking our disposable income and actually making us poor. We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so again, like I just told you, we do have our comment line. But let me take a macro view, because one of the things that I've been trying to kind of convey regarding our form of government, because that's kind of where we're at. We're looking at what type of government we have. Because everybody goes, well, we have a constitutional republic. Every government in the world today is practically a constitutional republic. There is a huge difference. And so you have to go back to the 1700s and where the world was. The world at that point in time did not have Satan did not have this broad influence with pornography, alternate concepts. I mean, communism was just coming out again in an enlightened society. The Plato's Republic. I mean, people read that and they recognized how evil that was. And that's why, you know, even the framers talked about socialism and how it was it's been a failure throughout history. And anybody that wants to go down that path to statism, because socialism is a transition of statism. And so as anybody attempts that path, they will find themselves embraced and fully locked into statism until they kill and destroy everything to where people absolutely suffer. And so as we look at every kind of government that has existed, there are really two types of governments. And so even though we have a lot of different governments, there are literally two types. Now, there is an autocratic government where a body or person dictates everything. You have no say. But some of these actually start off or initially established by the people, such as a dictatorship. Napoleon did not just anoint himself. He had to have the support of the people to make him a dictator. The same thing with Hitler. So when you look at dictatorships, even though dictatorship starts off with a democratic form, because there's the autocratic and there's a democratic types, not forms, types of government. In other words, that the people have some say in their government or the people have no say. An autocratic, no say, democratic, some say. And so unless it's a democracy, then again, that is the most infantile type of government that you can have, because it literally will throw you back and forth from tyranny to anarchy, tyranny to anarchy. That was very clear as the framers described a democracy. A dictatorship, again, like I said, has to have some form of people input to make this person their new leader. Then you can go down this long, because if you look at the Roman Empire, if you look at the Egyptian Empire, that was really a dictatorship until it turned into a monarchy in Egypt. And so a monarchy is where a class of a family becomes the absolute leader and has the absolute say. Now, in Egypt, they weren't just having absolute say, they believed that the leader of Egypt ascended to the status of a god because they had that level of control over all things. An oligarchy is another form of government, whether that be a corporate state or what have you, but it is a select body of people. It doesn't have to be just a few. When you're talking about billions of people, you can have an oligarchy in the hundreds. If you look at the UN, if you look at, you know, the people that are really behind the UN, the globalist move, there you may see hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 or more than 1,000, but the people that are really driving that are the people back behind the scenes. As we look at the different layers of globalism, it is very clear that we have, you know, this facade of some form of an oligarchy, but behind that, there are very few people pulling all of the strings and allowing people to move forward. And so, you know, because we know the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, there are different families and so forth that are kind of behind the scenes, you know, letting things move the way they do. Those who are actually controlling so many things within the world, whether that be the energy market as well as the banking and so forth. And that's why I tell you, you should probably read A. Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. And when he talks about the federal government being able to, A. Ralph Epperson, this is where I divide from him, and we've argued over this before. He says that the 17th the subsection of Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, where Congress shall have the power to the exclusive legislation over the District of Columbia. He says that that applies to all of the states. And I said, no, it doesn't. If you read it, it states that they only have the exclusive legislation over the District of Columbia and territories currently under their control. They're not to have permanent control over territories, and the states need to call them out on this. Every single island state or every single area that they consider a territory must be a schedule set up to either let Puerto Rico go or it becomes a state by this point in time. Because bottom line, Puerto Rico has been enjoying, at everybody's expense in America, all sorts of, I'll just say, it's kind of like that old saying, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free, right? And so why should Puerto Rico even consider joining the Union and the Republic, you know, as long as they're getting all of the benefits from the welfare entitlement state that they're providing? So anyway, socialism usually starts off, and usually socialism can be maintained via a democracy. However, the point in fact is that socialism itself is an autocratic form of government. Same thing with communism, same thing with fascism, and a theocracy. Now, a theocracy, 9 times out of 10, it becomes a monarchy, as we saw in Israel and other other theocracies, such as Islam. But when all of a sudden the family lineage kind of goes down, you know, gets split, and or no babies, no kids, nothing, then it starts rising up in these different factions. And that's usually the beginning of its demise, because at that point in time, they become factionalized, they get divided. And the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall, it rings loud in every form of government. Now, in a democratic form of government or type of government, I don't want you to think that we have a democratic form. We have a republican form of government, but the type of government, it is all based upon a democratic process. In other words, we elect via democratically our representatives. We also elect our electors in choosing who our president is going to be. The framers were really clear. Their intent was to try to maintain your ability to have your representation at the state and at the federal level. But that was it. We were not allowed to be moved into a democracy just due to the fact that that's where all of a sudden mob rule and that mob rule mentality takes over. A federation can be done as a republic because technically, or as a democratic form, because as you look at the ancient, you know, the beginning of Rome, the Senate, which was the sovereign or the ruler of Rome, was, and their positions were democratic. But when we started looking at how the Senate finally abdicated their powers to the Caesar, that was the end. That was when Rome became a dictatorship. A confederation is another form of government, and a federation is a form of government that is democratic, even though they may be republican and or democratic. A federation can be a democracy, because if you look at Hitler in Germany, he had a federation, and it was a democracy until he became the dictator, and then it was all done. He seized all control. Parliamentary is a mixture of types of governments where you have representation of, you know, the people. Then in Britain, you have a representation of the affluent people. So in other words, if you look at what I'm going to talk about in sovereignty next, when you start looking, you actually create these sub-factions from the people themselves, where everybody has a representative, like the House of Representatives, but the upper house is the representation of the affluent people, where they appoint. They really aren't elected. And so, but there is a form of democracy within each of those houses, because, you know, it's who chooses which seats over, and I don't know how the House of Lords is completely divided up. I just know that they are appointments, but those appointments have to be agreed upon within the factions of the House of Lords. with a Republican form of government. The Republican form of government is established via a democratic form, and it is maintained via a democratic form. And like I already told you, socialism, communism, and dictatorships are also democratic types of government. I keep on saying forms. Our government is supposed to be Republican in form, which means that we're to have representatives, but we are to choose our representatives democratically. So it is a form of government that is representative, but it is our representatives are established via a democratic process. So when we look at our legislative body, because our legislation, our legislative bodies are our sovereigns. The president is not our sovereign. He does not have the power to make law and or to do away with law. He only has the power to execute the laws faithfully. And it's the same thing with the jury or the jurist and the Supreme Court. They don't have the powers to make law, only our legislators. So when we be back, we'll talk about sovereignty.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 4225-270-5416.
Okay, sovereignty. We've talked about this before, and this is where enlightenment truly came in. Because when we started looking at the shareholders, or I should say those who had a stake, those who had skin in the game of governance, it was our framers, or it was via the inspiration of the Lord, the divine hand of providence, that helped them acknowledge that even though this paradigm that people are the sovereigns, that God is the ultimate sovereign, and that we in this world are our own sovereigns, ignores the fact that we create governments and grant them sovereignty over very specific things. This became a huge paradigm shift. If you look at the parliament, because, you know, there is a bicameral legislative body, as we look at parliament and the representation of the people and representation of the wealthy, then you can see how even though they may have divided sovereignty or divided roles, they really don't have the same kind of division like we have between the Senate and our House of Representatives, because it's still representation of the people. And so, and I can't tell you that I profoundly understand Parliament, but I do profoundly understand our Senate structure and our House of Representatives. And this is why the House of Representatives has zero say, nary a peep, regarding the placement of a judge, regarding the placement of an ambassador. That clearly has more ramifications upon the states than it does the people. Same thing with treaties. Most states need to be very concerned with how the treaties are going to affect the governance of the state versus the people. And so this is why there was this huge, I'll just say, this huge insight that just shifted government for America. And oddly enough, this is something that never got captured by any other nation. There were lots of countries that have gone down the path of trying to create bicameral legislative bodies, but they never understood this. And they never went through and changed all the little cabals that they had, because they never really had a representative or a true Republican form of government where their states were representatives as well in the likeness of the national government. What they did was they just tried to drop a constitution in and say, well, okay, now we're running. And they didn't understand the enumerated powers and those unique things that made our U.S. Constitution what it is. But sovereignty is something we have completely, because it makes you feel better that you as a person, we the people, we're sovereigns. And it makes people feel good, oh, that we have this level of full control. Well, no, actually that makes us a democracy if we the people are the only sovereigns. But as a Republican form of government, in our representation as well as the state representation, then we truly have identified all the players, all those who have skin in the game that should have some say over, you know, very specific parts of the decision processes of the government. Who goes to war? That would be the House of Representatives, because that affects the people directly. Again, commerce, trade, and those types of things, that would be more of, you know, treaties and those types of things would be more of the Senate, because how that affects the states. So the brilliance of this, I think, really eludes a lot of people. So you have to look at our Republican form of government as a representation of not the people, but of the sovereigns. We the people create sub-elements of government. We created the states first. The states created the general government. And then the sub-element of government to that general government over those things delegated, such as war, such as commerce, such as those things, then the federal government is the sovereign over those few things. Everything else, the state government is sovereign in governance, and we the people have the sovereignty over our representation. This really challenges most people, and it's really not rocket science. All you have to do is start recognizing that we the people really did form government. And as Thomas Jefferson states in the Declaration of Independence, we have a right to cast off or alter any government that is abusing us. And that was the case with the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation put the Union at risk, because the states, the big states, most of them refused or were unable to pay their debt. Massachusetts was one. They were a large state of population, and they were unable to pay their debt. However, I think Virginia was the one out of all of the big states that did pay their debt, or were paying their debt. So as we start really looking at, you know, what really drove, you know, the Articles of Confederation to actually fail, because actually even the Carolinas were playing games, and they were decent-sized states. And they were playing games because they were bypassing the trades of what the United States was saying, okay, we're going to trade with these countries and we're not going to trade with these other ones. Well, North Carolina, South Carolina sure did. And so they started making their own treaties, even though the Articles of Confederation did not allow that. Every other state was going out and creating their own direct treaties. And so the Articles of Confederation had failed. They truly had failed. And I keep on trying to impress this upon people. People do not understand that this general government, the Continental Congress, a representative of the people of the states, it wasn't working. It was not working at all. And so they had to create some form of balance, which is why when you look at the Senate, the votes of the Senate are pretty much equal because you have two. You have two votes for each state. So there's an equal footing within the Senate in all things. Now, with representation in the House of Representatives, it is based on apportionment of the population. So the more populated states like Texas and California and so forth, those states have more. They have more representation. And as this population continues to shift because of politics, politics is driving a lot of the moves in America today. We can kind of see how the representation has shifted. I think California lost a few seats. The point is that we have this form of government that is recognized. And this recognition came under what we call the Connecticut Compromise or the Roger Sherman Compromise, where they created a bicameral legislative body. When we get to the ratification debates, when we read the ratification debates, you will find that there is actually this mind-blowing concept for, I think it was Clay, was the one in Virginia, goes, how can we have two sovereigns? You know, it creates this huge division, and how can this even work? Because he really didn't understand. He didn't go through and lay out the roles and responsibilities of the Senate and the roles and responsibilities of the House. In so doing, you would actually see that they don't have sovereignty over the same things. They equally vote on those, but the laws that come from the House and the laws and things that come from the Senate, you know, are completely different. Completely different. And that was truly the divine hand of providence in forming this nation. So as we start going through the government itself, we actually started introducing this evil thing called parties. And over time, it took a while, but over time, there became a very clear delineation between one party and another party in the very beginning, because you had the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Well, eventually, the Anti-Federalists became the Federalists, or what we call the Federalists at that point in time, got converted and actually became big government cabals, which were technically the Anti-Federalists that infiltrated the government. And are those who were Federalists that wanted to create a large and powerful government. See, like Patrick Henry, I think Patrick Henry, had he walked into the federal government, had he lived long enough, I believe he would have became a Federalist for aggrandizing, because after the beginning of the federal government, I believe he probably would have said, you know what, I'm going to play my politics and cabal at the federal level and, you know, maybe become president. I believe had he been born later, I think it would have kind of proven that he was more of a big government manipulator than he was a good defender of liberty. He talked a great game. This guy was a lawyer and a statesman. But when you really look at the conflicts that Madison and Jefferson had with Patrick Henry, they were very similar to the conflicts that these two men had, Jefferson and Madison had with Hamilton. And if you read any of the biographies, you'll realize that there was this huge divide between the big government faction and the individual liberty, individual sovereignty faction, which really it shook out in the late 1790s when the Alien and Sedition, there were four acts, but when these two, the Alien and Sedition Acts, types of acts were passed, that is where the divide began, because this is where the federal government was recognized for violating the Constitution. And in so doing, they actually then started going down this path of, you know, opening doors for the federal government to do even worse things. And this is where Madison and Jefferson really drew the line and became this new party called the Republican Party. We'll be right back after these two promos. That's right, I said Republican Party. When we come back, we'll talk about that.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we look at our hybrid, now we want to call our republic a hybrid because, as we already talked about, the establishment of government is not just a republic, not just a constitutional republic, but the form of government is either a federation or a confederacy, because that's how the government was formed. It was formed into either a federation or confederacy. So the reason why I don't want to gloss over this is so that you understand that when you want to say something that we are a constitutional republic, like I said, every nation out there, Russia right now is a constitutional republic, so is China. And so when we want to differentiate America, we're a hybrid constitutional republic with an enumerated constitution. That is a huge differentiator, the enumerated constitution. We've said this a lot, and we go over this a lot. There are no general powers within our constitution. Even the lines that say for the general defense and welfare, that does not mean that that is granting general powers. And a matter of fact, this is why the ratification debates are so important, because that was one of the contentions by the anti-federalists, that, oh, you're granting general powers. Well, the states clearly understood that no general powers were granted, because that's what the anti-federalists articulated, that those clauses did not equate to general powers. In Article 1, Section 8, the very first, the beginning, which is the preamble of the enumerated powers, is identifying why the enumerated powers are granted for the general defense and welfare of the Union. In other words, that for the general defense and welfare, the power, Congress shall have the power too, doesn't mean that they have general powers. The list of powers underneath those powers that are designed for the general defense and welfare are listed below. And that's exactly how it was defined. But when you listen to somebody say, oh no, those are general powers, then they have never understood how it was defined legally during the ratification debates. This is why we have to understand that the ratification debates provide all of the clarity in definitizing the Constitution. Okay? So back to this hybrid constitutional republic, okay, and you know, in a confederation that we have, then what we want to do is we want to impress upon you the difference in politics of most general power governments versus an enumerated power. When you elect a politician, if they do not understand that there are enumerated powers granted, and those are the only powers that they are sovereign over, that's the only powers that they can make law or they can do anything with. The only general powers that Congress was granted was in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. The Congress shall have the exclusive legislation over the District of Columbia. That's it. So they can do anything and everything they want to the inhabitants of the District of Columbia. And the District of Columbia has no representation. They're not entitled to any representation because they are to be an isolated or an autonomous area in governing the very specific things they're supposed to govern over the Republic. And then they have exclusive government there to grant them the amendment. I forget which one it is, to actually gives them some basic representation in the Constitution. That itself violates Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. So anyway, when we start looking at Aristotle and he starts talking about politics, and the art of politics is about compromise, that the left and the right create compromises. There are no compromises except within the enumerated powers. And what I mean by that is they can't compromise and say, well, we're going to go beyond the enumerated powers. The only compromise they have is, do we go to war or not? When they're looking at exercising a very specific power that has been delegated. Now, there are some things that they have responsibilities they cannot not do. That the states are supposed to go after them because they're supposed to train and equip the militia. Whether they like it or not, that's what they're supposed to do. And there have been times where they have failed completely to do that. So when we start creating, I want to start stitching this, making these connections to the form of our representation and the process of choosing our public servants. We absolutely have to have standards, and we have to understand, or we have to ensure that they understand that they do not have any latitude to legislate outside of the Constitution or outside the delegated powers of the Constitution, because that applies to your state as well. That also applies to your county. They just can't go along and start doing things that violate either the U.S. Constitution or violate the state constitution. And I'll give you a good example of how county commissioners can actually violate, or in a parish, parish supervisors or commissioners, as well as county. And the difference, I've told you what the difference is between a county and a parish. A county is rooted in the British form of government back in the old days, where a count had control over a small segment of land. In Louisiana and throughout the Catholic Empire, the Roman Catholic Empire, they had small segments that were parishes that were controlled by the priests, the ministry. And so anyway, because when you look at a parish today in Christianity, a parish is basically your congregation, right? Right. And so those are really small segments. But when you look at a count had a much larger segment. And so anyway, just trying to provide you the clarity. when we start looking at what we have to do, we have to start demanding that they create standards for themselves. If they're not willing to create standards for themselves, this has to be one of those issues that we have to start making. And oh, by the way, there's a whole bunch of issues that will start linking and creating a connection to the Constitution and how we're to be governed moving forward. This is where we kind of, I've labeled this initially as the Bill of Rights of 2022 moving forward, but I believe it's just aligning our government back to the Constitution so that they understand all of these things. But most importantly, we have to demand that they take a test. We have to demand that they understand what their limitations are, what powers they actually have, and what powers they don't have. So when they do something, and we want to hear them actually say, okay, these are the powers, and these are the only powers I have as a legislator in this position. That way, when they actually vote for something that is outside the powers that they set themselves, then now we have the legal standing and the ability to remove them. We have to start using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This is why, you know, going through all of this curriculum, because it all kind of stitches together, but it's not that complicated. I know that it seems hard, and maybe the messenger in some ways, but this is why this messenger goes through this in different ways, so that you can hear me explain this 3, 4, 5 different times. There are other people that may be able to explain some of the nuts and bolts, but I don't believe that I have the best way of explaining it, but I try to tie everything together, not to confuse you, just so you understand how everything is connected and how it works together. You know, how, you know, the Senate and the House of Representatives are to work and what they're supposed to do and who they're supposed to represent in our representative form of government. So when our legislators in this upcoming election move forward in legislating, they must make all laws that are tied to enumerated powers. What they can do is they can actually identify something that is unconstitutional that has been done by Congress before, and they can actually get rid of this. We don't actually have to have republic review to do this. But I am telling you, we have to have republic review to do it because they won't do it on their own. It is antithetical to any entity, organization, or any person in a position of sovereignty, power, that understands that, you know, the more I have, the more I can control, and if they become, I'll just say, insatiable with control and their power. Very few people have the humility to say, we have no real constitutional basis and actual legal, you know, legal standing to be able to exercise these powers. We must cease and desist and move forward and creating a barrier so that we can't do these things again. That way, when a president comes along and says, we're going to not do this, we're going to do this, because it's the whims of the president and their agenda. They don't have the power to do any of that. This is where our legislators have to do this. And this is why Republic Review sends directives to Congress to force them to do their job. The president has to faithfully execute the Constitution and laws that are pursuant to the Constitution. And the jurists, the Supreme Court, their limitations of jurisdiction is the Constitution and all laws in pursuant. When a law comes along that's kind of wandered outside, they're like Obamacare or what have you, because the Department of Health is out there. They should be the ones saying we have no jurisdiction because this is not enumerated in the Constitution. So when we come back, we'll talk about the jurisdictions and other things. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.